Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Man, I love that song. That screen up there, I don't know if you weren't here on Sunday, Chapman was got up here and he said, I know that there's words there, but did you see the empty tomb? And he started talking about that. I'm just telling you, that ministered to me when he started talking about that on Sunday. And so tonight, when that song was being played, I just kept looking at that empty tomb. And I thought, isn't life as a Christian all worth living because of Jesus? He's worth it all. This morning in Bible class, I've got Bible this week and next week that I teach at our Christian school here. And I'm talking about just these last 2 weeks, the stories of Jesus. The stories of Jesus. And every class we've had this year has, we have found Jesus in the story, because you can't not find him all through Scripture, obviously. But we're just talking about the actual stories of Jesus. And so I'm just overwhelmed right now with all of the three-year ministry of Jesus. And as I had been preparing for tonight, the last few weeks, I've been talking about friendships. And so when I was looking at the stories of Jesus, there was one story that I was going to talk about in Bible class, but really I just thought, no, I'm going to talk about it tonight, and here's why. I've been talking about friendships. And this story just talks about a breakthrough in life because of Jesus. And a lot of people, the breakthrough they get is they don't get to, they don't have hell as their destination. The breakthrough is heaven. But I think so many miss what Jesus did for our lives here. What he made available right here. People live miserable, and they don't understand that there's a breakthrough available. There's a breakthrough in your life available, and so you have a breakthrough. Tonight, I don't know what area you're looking for a breakthrough in your life, but I want to tell you that let this story of some men that were friends of someone who was in need of a breakthrough, and they came to his rescue. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 2. God is still in the business of meeting needs. Now, praise God, he did that 2,000 years ago, and everything that we're in need of has already been taken care of. It's just the problem is most of us don't know how to get to Jesus to get it taken care of. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, gives us some insight on how to do this. Very simple story. And you've probably all read the story. You've heard the story. You've probably heard it preached on. But you've got to get the 1, 2, 3s out of the story and make the application into your life. I can't just leave the Bible as a history lesson. I've got to make sure that whatever I am communicating about the Word makes a difference in how I get up and live tomorrow. It's just got to make a difference. And Mark chapter 2 is a great story in verse 1, but it's just profound in what happened here. It says in verse 1 of Mark chapter 2, when Jesus returned to Capernaum after several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. They were packing this place out, and it was just a house, and Jesus was there. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't get him to Jesus because the house was so crowded. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head, and they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, we read that, and there's a whole story behind this story, and so let me just give you a little insight. Jesus knows everything. He knew the different people that were in the room. He knew the Pharisees that were, he knew the people that was there to try to attack what God had called him to do. And there's always going to be attack on what God calls to do. Jesus was no exception to that. There was always going to be an attack. However, because it's Jesus, he always had the right answer to take care of whatever the attack was. Well, in that day and time, it was always thought of that if anyone was paralyzed or had an issue within themselves, it was because of sin. And ultimately, that's true. Sin is the reason anything bad is there. However, it may not have been the person's sin that caused the affliction. It's a fallen world, and fallen world's because of sin. So he's in a position where this paralyzed man is there. And what does Jesus say to the paralyzed man after seeing the faith of four men? He doesn't address the four men. He addresses the paralyzed man and says, hey, your sins are forgiven. Now, you can read on and read more about that, but the same story in Luke chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus went on to say, after he said, your sins are forgiven, Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, explaining, we've seen amazing things today. I have countless times been in awe when I've seen God do something that I had believed him for, and then I saw it happen, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Just this week, a gentleman that comes and does a service here at the church, he's not a member of this church, he had just came and he does a service here at our church, and he came in, and I just said, hey, man, how's it going? Because I see him periodically. Man, I'm doing good. Well, I'm not really. What's going on? He said, well, I've just got some real severe back pain. And it's really causing me pain to the point that I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep working. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need this job. And I said, And I know that it's a little awkward when you hear someone talk about that. I don't care what position you are. Even as the pastor, you're like, okay, it's me and a guy I don't even know out here. And I said, well, I don't know if you believe in prayer, but I do. And I just started to say, I'm just going to pray for you. And now you have a good day. And let's just leave it alone. But you know how the Holy Spirit's like, no, don't say that. And I'm doing one of those things in my mind as I'm talking to him and I'm helping him with what he was doing. And I'm like, I don't really, okay, please. No. Hey, man, can I pray for you right now? I guess. Okay, I'm in. So I'm going to pray for him. And then he goes, the Holy Spirit touches back. Oh, God, really? Yeah. Do you mind if I lay hands on you? I didn't know anything about his background, his past, nothing. And I laid hands on him. This wasn't just like recent. This is here a week or two ago. So I just prayed for him. He goes, hey, thanks. And I'm like, yeah, you're welcome. I'll keep praying for you. And I couldn't get him out of my head, and I just kept praying for him over the next few days. Well, today he came back to do a service, and he waves me down. Come here. Whoa. What? He goes, man, he goes, I got to tell you, the day after you prayed for me, I had a pop in my back. And I haven't had my back popped in. I can't even tell you how long. And my back popped. And he said, it felt better. And every day since then, it's been better. And he said, I've been telling my wife every day. And she's just amazed. She's amazed. She can't believe. And she goes, he said, all I want to do is say thank you. I've never experienced anything like this. And I'm like, wow. I almost didn't lay hands on you. And then I'm reading this. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God. And so I walked away from that. And I mean, he was in his vehicle and he was doing this as he drove off. And I'm like this walking down to the school. I'm praising God. I mean, I call all the people that were around there at the staff. I say, come in here. I got to tell you what's going on. Joanne, come in here. I got to tell you. I was praising God. Why is that such a big deal? Because when God shows up and do something miraculous in the lives of people and you get to be a part of it, there ought to be a praising going on. It's just a mistake to sit back and expect God to do everything that needs to be done for someone's breakthrough. It's a mistake. See, what happened here in this story was some action was taken that was brought in a breakthrough. He needed a touch from God. I want to propose to you that these four men carried this paralyzed man in not knowing exactly what was going to happen, but knew Jesus was what needed to happen. I tell you, I didn't know what the outcome was what I knew needed, but the outcome was Jesus, and I knew that when I was praying. The outcome's got to be Jesus. So I didn't know how, and if it's through healing his back, that's fine, but it can't stop there. See, there had to be more, but that was the introduction for a praise to go on. And I thought, that's an introduction for a praise tonight. He was picked up, he was carried in, and I believe that there had to be some faith from four men to do what happened. What's the opposite of faith? The opposite of faith is sight. So they couldn't see. Now, know this, that a lot of times you'll hear the word fear. But the opposite of faith would be fear, but to not operate in faith and just to operate in your want is sight. I'm going to do what I know I can do because I can see the outcome. These guys didn't see the outcome, they just saw Jesus. And then Jesus saw the outcome. And I just want to kind of throw that out because as I was thinking about the opposite of faith would be fear, which wouldn't allow you to see something through your spiritual eyes. I'm always like, if you just get in front of Jesus, but you already think you know what's going to happen. You already think that it's going to take surgery. You think it's going to take this. You think it's going to take this. And all of those things may be Jesus' route for your healing, for your depression, for your mental game that just keeps wreaking havoc upon you. For your financial situation, you're thinking, well, here's what I'm going to have to do. And you make this roadmap all based on sight. What I'm telling you is if we could get a roadmap that gets us to Jesus, then he could give you the roadmap you're needed for the outcome. So I love this story. We've got to be a part in creating our own breakthrough. And what this man did is just phenomenal. He surrounded himself with men of faith. Because Jesus said, right there, your sins are forgiven, stand up, pick up your mat and go. And I like what it said. Jesus, in verse 5, in Mark says, seeing their faith. It didn't say seeing the paralyzed man faith. And I'm just thinking about that. When I was praying over this gentleman, I'm sitting here thinking in my mind, God, I know that I know that I know I've seen you do it 100 other times. Right now, I know that I know that you can heal his back. I know that. So I'm placing him right here today in front of you. And I thought, I am one of these four men. I almost went down and got some more backup just in case my faith wasn't strong enough. But I thought, no, it's not me. It's the faith that I had to get him to Jesus. See, and that's what I want you to understand. We've got to get to a place where we're more concerned about getting him to Jesus than anything else. There's a formula that I want to dive into. And so I want to imagine, if you will, a roof. Now, they say they had to dig through the roof, and I don't know much about roofs in 2,000 years ago. I don't know much about them, and unless we have an archaeologist in the house, you probably don't either. So we're really trying to draw a picture in our mind of what it looks like. Now, I can just think about a modern-day roof and the work it would take to get through a modern-day roof. But I did read a little bit about it because in that day and time that they built this with mud and they'll use sticks to reinforce, kind of like we use rebar now with cement. They'd use sticks and different things to reinforce, and they put mud up over it. And so there was going to be a process regardless to get through this. And so I think these men saw they couldn't get through the crowd. There are times that I'm in crowds and I'm not a big fan of crowds. And for years, I had an inn at Silver Dollar City. I didn't like lines. And so I went to work at Silver Dollar City. And when I would bring my kids there, we found ways to get to the front of the line and not tell anybody. Because I don't want to make anybody mad, but we only had a certain amount of time before we had a show going on. And we had to get in there. And there's a place there called Grandfather's Mansion. Have you ever heard of that place? At Silver Dollar City, if you haven't, it's a really cool place. The older I get, the more it's not as fun. But when I was younger, it was really, you get out now and you're like trying to catch yourself and walk straight. But because this whole place makes you think you're upside down, you're sideways, there's a pool table in there and a ball goes up and down and falls and it like doesn't go the way it's supposed to, it doesn't make any sense. So I didn't really like this place, but I always wanted to go in it. And I wanted to experience it from another place. There's a door in there that nobody knows about except for people who work there. And you can go in this little room and you can watch people. And they don't know you're watching them. It's one of the funniest things ever. And so they're going through. Well, they've been waiting in line to get in there anyway. And so they're coming up and there's this one window. This really has nothing to do with the story, but I had to tell you, because it's just really funny. There's this one window that's in there, and this window is a two-way thing. You know, from this side, the people are going through it, look in it, and you can't see anything. From the other side, you can see everything, but the other side of the window, you're dark. But they put this light right above your head, and this black cloth that would surround behind you, and a switch right underneath you. And so you could back up, and they're like looking in this window, and right when you are, you could flip the light on and go, ha! And then they go, they'd about jump out of their skin, man, because they could all of a sudden see your face in a mirror. And you could wear a mask, you could do anything you want. It was just, oh my. And what I would think is, they waited hours to get this. They couldn't wait. There's a line outside just waiting to see this mirror. And I thought, I can sit there and watch them all day long. I mean, everybody wants to see everybody get scared in this place or freak out or what's going on. And I could live in there. And I was thinking about this story. Jesus is in this house. All these people are wanting to get in, not to get scared by Jesus, but just to experience what he had available to them. And they're wanting to get in there. It's kind of a long shot. But what was that? They're wanting to get into this house. And they can't, and so they got to find another way in. What I'm telling you is there's always another way in. There's always another way to get what you're looking for. There's always another. And so these men knew that there was another way, and what they did is they said, we're going to make our own way. We're going to do whatever it takes to get what we're looking for. And so I always wanted to be in this place, and I found a way in. What I'm telling you is if you want to be in the presence of Jesus, your want to has to be bigger than your barrier. Your want to has to be bigger than your barrier, because the enemy wants to put a barrier and he don't want you in the presence of Jesus. And so there's always going to be a barrier. If you can't get what you want, what you're in need of by walking through these doors and sitting down and receiving the word and walking out basically the same way, you need to find another way into the presence of Jesus. I'm talking about that right in God's house. God's people, are you willing today to try something you haven't tried before to get something you've never had before? It's a question for you. If Jesus is not your goal, there's no reason for the effort. See, if you're just wanting what you want, then you're not going to get what Jesus wants unless you get to Jesus and then your wants become his wants. And then you'll find, oh, wow. But Jesus has to be your goal. These guys who essentially said, we can't get in by traditional means. They'll kill us. Everybody else is enjoying his presence, and we can't get there. But I know of a way. Maybe one of the four was a builder, and he knew what the roof was made of. Maybe they knew that there was a set of stairs or a ladder on the backside. I don't know, but they knew whatever was needed to get in his presence. They knew how to get there. We put up our own barriers oftentimes, and we've got to see this step-by-step process. Verse 4 here in Mark is just a big verse with a few words. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. They lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Now, this verse is big, and here's why it is. There's 4 points here. They realized there was a barrier, so they had to have some thinking power to get past the barrier. You don't read that God supernaturally made a way to get into his presence. They had to figure out what it was going to take to get there. What's it going to take to get there? Because I've got to get this guy into the presence of Jesus. So that's the first one. The second one, after they started thinking about it, they knew they had to get on the roof because that was the only way above to get past the crowd. And so they're carrying him. I don't know if you've ever tried to carry another person. It's one thing to carry them, you know, here, grab a leg, you grab an arm, whatever. But on a mat, and you've got his mat that he's, and you're trying to grab one corner of it, and everybody else is dragging, you've got to have some strength, the grip. I just think this all through. And then they got to carry him up a set of stairs or a ladder to get up on the roof. There had to be some work going into this, and they were ready to do the work to break the barrier. Here's the third thing. If they were going to get up there and they're all carrying a mat, they had to have some tools. Okay, there's 4 guys, a mat, a paralyzed man on the mat, and they're going upstairs or up a ladder to get this guy up there, and they're carrying tools. I don't know if anybody thinks about this story from that perspective, but I think about that. I think they had to have a pick and a shovel, maybe a saw of some type. I don't know what. They had to figure out a way to get through this roof. And then here's the other thing. Okay, they get through the roof, and they are going to, the Bible says, they lowered him down. Well, did they lower him down by here? Everybody just put your toes up on the roof, and we'll just all hang. No, I think they probably had to have a rope, too. This is a thought-out process. You read this story in one sentence. But this had to be thought out. There may be, hold on, I live 2 doors down. I'll be right back. Everything that was needed, they had access to get what someone else was in need of. They had some needs here. See, problems in life has us down. I mean, we're paralyzed. And we got to know that if we can just get to God. And what I'm telling you in this story, it happened for this man, and it happened through his friends. If you haven't heard anything I've been preaching on the last couple of weeks, we've got to have some biblical friendships. We've got to have some people that surround us. We've got to have somebody that will pray for us. We need to put ourselves in positions where we can see a different outcome because Jesus sees a different outcome, not because we've got it all figured out. So there's a few people let's talk about in this story. Here's the first one. The first one, if you're the paralyzed man, if you're the one paralyzed, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's medically. Maybe it's mentally. Maybe it has to do something with going on in your marriage. Maybe it has to do with your kids, your job. I'm paralyzed. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm getting ready to get fired. I'm getting ready to this. I'm trying to stand and be bold, and I'm not going to compromise my beliefs for this. I don't know what area it is, but you got to understand the paralyzed man is symbolic of someone who feels like they need a breakthrough. I've got to get through this situation. I've got to get through it. And I don't know. You know what that is in your life. Or you may know it for someone else, but right now I'm talking to if you are the one paralyzed, what do you need to do? You better find that you're surrounding yourself with 4 men that will get you to Jesus. There better be 4 people that will get you to the presence of God. I want men of faith around me who will pray over me and who will believe for me and who will do whatever's necessary to touch the hem of his garment on my behalf. So I ask you tonight, who are your four friends? Who are your four friends? Do you have four friends in your life that's going to get you your breakthrough? Because you're paralyzed. If you're paralyzed in that area, that means you can't move. So how you go? You need movement to get you. There's got to be movement and you're paralyzed. This man could not have done this. He was paralyzed and there was a crowd. There was a barrier between him and Jesus. See, you got to get this. If all you do is surround yourself with people that are heathens, they're more paralyzed than you are. They're not going to get you to Jesus. You got to always be making sure you surround yourself in your paralysis with people that aren't paralyzed. See, I need people who aren't dealing with what I'm dealing with. Here's the problem. When you have a bad marriage, who does everyone run to? Someone with a bad marriage. That's the stupidest thing you could ever do. Why would you do that? Because paralyzed people seek out people that are paralyzed. Unless they have an understanding of Jesus. And so as the paralyzed man in this story, you need to seek out people who have the areas that you're in need of. So if your marriage is in shambles, you need to find someone who has the best marriage that you could see going on. And don't sit there and compare it. Go find out what you could do to have what you see them having. Well, I wish my wife would treat me the way his wife treats. Why don't you go talk to him and see what he's doing to get his wife to treat you? See, I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we just kind of leave paralyzed. We leave our marriages paralyzed. We leave our parenting paralyzed. We leave our jobs in a paralyzed position. You need to know the area of your paralysis. You need to know what it is. So who are your four friends? Because I need friends that will carry me if needed. Here's the second person in the story. Now, there's a whole bunch of them, and I'm not going to get to all of them, but I'll just get a couple of them tonight. Second people in the story is the friends. I'm sure they had other things to do. They had a wife, probably at least one or two of them, that had a to-do list. They had other things that were pulling their interest, but they had forsaken what they could have been doing to meet the needs of someone who they considered friend. Are you a friend that would carry a mat for someone paralyzed? See, that's you got to look at the friends. The friends, there was four of them that got together to help them. Come on, when a friend is in need and you know it and it's right here in this church, are you getting three other guys and saying, come help me carry this mat? One of them may have started this thing out, but there are times that I have been so appreciative because I have had men come and say to me, hey, here's what I'm seeing, and I just want you to know we're here to pray for you and help you. I can go back to several times in my life where that's happened. And I thought, man, I want to be that friend for someone, not to run them off, but to get them out of paralysis. See, I don't want to offend them. You don't read anybody saying, get up, come on, I need your help here, paralyzed person. No, they did all of it for him. They picked him up. Now, I don't know what was said there, but they were doing their part. Jesus is in town. They could have been anywhere else. But they saw a need for someone else. How willing are you to show others Christ? How willing are you to give up what you would have been doing for someone who's in need? Third thing, or the third people in the story, is the crowd. Now, I have been in a crowd and watched somebody cut in line. I don't know if you have. But I've also been in a conversation at seasons of my life with somebody and have someone walk up and interrupt me. My kids used to do that. I'm like, wait. And I'd carry on the conversation. Here's my problem. I was that kid who interrupted everybody. My wife is saying, and you still do. I know what she's thinking. I know what she's saying. I don't have to look at it. I'm not going to. But what I can tell you is there's always going to be somebody breaking line. There's always going to be somebody that wants something more than what you think they should. I'm sure the crowd sit there and go, what? I've been waiting to talk to him. What's this? Everything, good grief, they're getting rocks on my head. I mean, and everybody's out there in the crowd throwing a fit, except for that's not what I read. What I read, and I don't know if you read that with me, but I think it's pretty cool, that everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God. I want to be a part of the crowd that's cheering for the person who gets what God has for them. Don't ever be the one in the crowd that's jealous because someone else had whatever they, I've just got to be in the presence of Jesus. I've just got to be in the presence of Jesus. And they got him there, and I don't know the whole story. I just know what I'm able to read, and what I'm able to read is the people didn't get offended. So we got to be careful not to get offended that somebody else is getting what Jesus has for them. Aren't you thrilled when somebody receives a healing? Aren't you thrilled? I'm telling you, I didn't get a healing from this gentleman that was telling me this story and driving away and bouncing in his seat, but I was bouncing with him. See, what are you doing as a member of the crowd on Sundays when somebody else is down here getting prayed for? Good grief, I got a roast in the oven. If that pastor, doesn't he know we're done? Pray and say amen and let us out of here. Here's what I'm saying. I know that you have to fight that thought because I'm up here preaching, fighting it. There are times that I am just as big a part of the crowd as you are and I'm ready to go. But then I start going, you are being a baby. That's what I tell myself. Get over yourself and join in because right over here there are people praying and they are receiving what I have for them. And I'm going, oh, that's right. In Jesus' name right there. I may not even know their name, but I'm praying for them. Are you, every time somebody walks this aisle, are you a part of the crowd that's proclaiming joy and goodness and getting in on what Jesus is getting ready or doing for them at that time? I just love this story. Breakthrough means that we understand value. And as you increase your knowledge, your information, your skills, you increase the demand on your life. And everybody has a demand on your life, whether you're the paralyzed man, whether you're the crowd, or whether you are the friends that's bringing them up. So I want you to know that a point for a breakthrough doesn't always happen overnight, but sometimes it does. Whatever you're in need of, it will always start with getting in the presence of Jesus. It'll just always start there. And you can know in the presence of Jesus, there are times that after you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, you need to watch that you're surrounding yourself with people that'll take you there. They'll take you there. Consistency in prayer and belief and in Jesus' plan. Knowledge and wisdom bring understanding. Understanding is power. Understanding comes through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into your life. Knowledge, application, success, putting yourself in position. All knowledge, all wisdom comes from Christ. In fact, he is called wisdom. Chapman will talk about that next week, I'm sure, at some point. And you'll go, wow, that was really good. Tonight, start looking at your rough spots in the road, your barriers, as opportunities for a breakthrough instead of defeat. Man, I just don't know how I'm going to handle it. God's called me to start a business. God's called me to do this. God's called me to, but I just don't know that I can. Start looking at that barrier that's right now got you as just an opportunity for God to give you a breakthrough. Could it be that what you're thinking is a trial could actually be the doorway for your next big blessing? I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen time and time again in people's lives. Even in my own life, the situation looked dark, But God, in the middle of the darkness, gave me an inner peace and a light that passed all understanding. I've just had it happen. And as time went on, I started watching a situation unfold. And as it unfolded, I realized that God had been in it the whole time. And he was just waiting for me to be able to get up and not be paralyzed here anymore. See, and that's not an isolated case for me. That's a word for somebody tonight. Your breakthrough is here. Here's my last point this evening. In order for your breakthrough to come to pass, it's going to require you to see your situation with different eyes, a different perspective. And it's hard to see yourself walking when you're paralyzed. I'm just telling you, it's hard to see yourself in health when you're sick. It's hard. But it's a whole lot better when you hear Jesus say, hey, get up. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. In fact, pick up your mat. Well, why did he say pick up your mat? There are a whole lot of theologians that have different reasons for that. And I mean, a whole lot of different thoughts in it. And then you'll have one tonight and you can come tell me about it later. But all I can tell you is that mat represented what used to hold him and he now held.
That's really good.
I just love that thought. That mat used to be what held him. Now he held. Pick up that mat. I'm going to hold and carry what used to carry me. That's not carrying me no more. That just gave me cold chills. I don't know about you, but I want you to know that whatever it is that's been trying to hold you, you need to pick that thing up and you need to carry it out of here. Your breakthrough is available. I hope that ministered to someone tonight. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.